afternoon, America. Welcome to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. We are happy that you are on board. Thank you for being here. I trust all of you got your taxes in yesterday, because you know, yesterday was the day. Thank you, 16th Amendment. Thank you, 16th Amendment. Now, on April 15th, you know, we got to get it filed. Either you get them filed or you file the extension. Or maybe you have to file quarterly. You know, you might be one of those. One of them there self-employed that file quarterly. And we owe it to 1913, my friends. I mean, we talked about it last week, maybe the week before. I think it was last Monday. Maybe it was the Monday before. I don't remember. Time is just blending in. It's just rushing in together. The days are melding into one. It's this time of the year for us. The school year is winding down. We're into the fourth quarter, and all systems are go. We are just full steam ahead, and we're just trying to wrap up the year. And it's the busiest time of the year for us. I mean, it is the busiest time of the year. Year-end functions. The kids are just at a different, you know, they're at a different level. Mentally, they go to different places because they're excited to get through the school year. They're looking forward to next year's grade. They have their own concerns, and it just kind of spills over onto the rest of us. So we have their concerns plus our concerns. Now, it's not that bad, but it's a busy time. And there's a lot going on. And so I just hope that you were able to get your taxes filed. You know, 1913. Don't get me started. I'm telling you, I will. If you get me started, I'll take us right back to another history class, and it drives me batty to think about 1913 and what in the world the states were thinking. How in the world did the state legislatures just hand over their power and authority to the federal government and say, yeah, you don't need us. You don't need to request funds from us anymore. Just go directly to the people. Just bypass us altogether. Take away the voice of states. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and we'll pass the 17th Amendment and take away the voice of the states in Congress. Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Yeah, unbelievable. And just 1913. Unbelievable. So here we are, all these years later. Now it's on, you know, the day after, April 15th. Everybody's, you know, making a mad dash to get their taxes in. Ugh. This weekend, I'm telling you, was just this past weekend, in addition to getting all the tax documentation in. This weekend was just, Sunday, one of our seniors had his exit project in the parking lot. He had a car show. That was his exit project. Cars are his thing. And that's what he is directing his future towards. And so he put on a good exhibition, put on a great show. People entered their cars in the car show. There was some votes. There was cash prize. It was a good time on Sunday. Saturday, all over the country in every capital, this past weekend, people gathered to support our kids. The grassroots movement, Don't Mess With Our Kids, sponsored a rally in every single state capital. You've heard me talk about it. I spent a lot of time talking about the event leading up to it. And I'll have some interviews from the event in Lansing that I'll be playing this week. But reports have been coming back in from every capital. And the average is about 200 to 500 people showing up at every capital, except for Michigan, Oregon, and Texas, which these three states had over 1,000. We had at least 1,000. We definitely had more, probably closer to 1,500. The capital in Lansing was packed. There were people everywhere, and it was It was a friendly crowd. It was the energy was high. The people were excited. They were excited to be there. It was a day of worship. It was a day of prayer. It was a day of repentance. It was a day to really to pray and to ask God for his protection over our kids. And it happened all over the country. And to me, that's just beautiful. It really is. It's a beautiful thing. And so while this is happening, while people are planning and they're hosting these rallies and state capitals all over the country, you have state legislatures that are passing laws that say you cannot perform gender surgery on minors. You can't do it. And these laws are being challenged. And we talked about this the other day. This governor in Kansas who has vetoed that law. And I know people who were at the rally on Saturday in Kansas. I've heard from them. And the day before, their governor vetoed this bill. And on Saturday, they show up to this rally, and it's just about prayer. It's just about prayer. It's about asking God for his protection, for his guidance, his direction. Kansas, they needed a new choice in governor. Of course, Kansas has a veto-proof majority. You folks in Kansas, you are on it. And while your governor is, far left, you've got a legislature that potentially may have the votes to override her veto, and that's a big deal. And then Arkansas, we've talked about Arkansas. They passed the very first law of all the states in 2021. They passed their version of a ban on gender surgeries for minors. That law is being challenged in court. It's making its way to the Court of Appeals last week. And then leading up to all that, there's just this rally that's happening. And it almost feels like there's this convergence taking place. I've been talking about, I've been talking for weeks about the eyes of Americans opening up and paying attention and realizing something's going on. And it is. There is something happening out there. It's palpable. The Don't Mess With Our Kids movement is part of it. It's part of the palpability. Is that a word? I think it is. And this movement is part of it. You can feel it. There is a shift in the vibe, definitely. There's a foundational shift happening. And there are people all over the place that realize, you know what? This country was founded on brilliance. The ideals of freedom and liberty that this country was founded on, these are the ideals that we want. We don't want Marxism. We don't want a rebranded socialism. We don't want this progressive garbage that has been presented to us and yay rammed down our throats for the past century. And that's it's been about it. It's been about a century. We're tired of it. And people are waking up. And they're waking up all over the country. And my friends, I'm telling you, it is a beautiful thing. It is absolutely a gorgeous thing. Now, yesterday I intended on getting to Idaho. And I didn't. We spent a lot of time in Kansas. We spent a lot of time in Arkansas. Today, we're going to get to Idaho because this is part of it. It's part of the country waking up. But first, today's an anniversary. Do we have time? Do we? Can we just, I mean, can we take some time to go to a history class? I promise I won't spend long. I will not spend long in the history class. But, today's a big deal. It really is, historically speaking. Today, 1789, President-elect George Washington left Mount Vernon for his inauguration in New York City, and it was, I mean, essentially a parade. I mean, he goes on parade. It's like a tour. He's on his way to the inauguration, and the country is just, I mean, they're beside themselves. You know, people are lined up everywhere. You know, they know he's coming through on his way to New York, and they're like, we're gonna see him. This is gonna be, this is a parade. This is full on parade. And we're gonna give our respects. We're gonna send him our love. We're gonna let him know how much we care about him, what he means to the country. It was a big deal. He had the ability. He had the authority. He was dead to rights. He could have just, I mean, he could have been king for life. He could have been king for life. And when King George, you know, realized England had lost, and he asked, you know, what's George going to do, referring to Washington. And when it was told to him that he was going to put down his sword and his rank and his command and head into retirement back to Mount Vernon, King George said, if he does that, he will be the best man in the world. He will be the best man to have ever lived. I'm paraphrasing, but that was his point. You mean he's not going to be King George of America? No, he's not. He's not, because the country wasn't founded to be a monarchy, wasn't founded to be a dictatorship. It was a brand new form of government, brand spanking new. It was founded on this idea of the people being sovereign, not a king, not a commander, not even a Congress, but the people were to be sovereign. And they were not to run the government, but they were to be sovereign over the government. The people were to be in charge, but they were to elect representatives for them to run the government. I mean, I keep saying this. I do. I keep saying this. One of these days, we are going to dive in and we're going to describe the difference between a democracy and a republic. And this is the chief part. It's one of the chief elements. It's the foundation of it. The people are sovereign, but they don't run the government. We elect representatives. And they make the decisions for us. And when they make buffoonery decisions, like this governor in Kansas vetoing this bill that is designed to protect minors from a medical profession that in some places is going rogue, that would rather mutilate children than stop to help them, the people can realize this governor herself is rogue. Let's get someone else in there to elect somebody else. Let's get someone else in there to lead the state. This was the beauty of the republic, and this is the democratic element, and that we vote for our elected representatives. But that's where the democracy stops. It ends right there, and that is our only vote. We don't vote for the laws. We don't vote to make the laws. We don't vote to pass the laws. We don't have any consideration in that. Nope, that's our elected representatives. That hence a republic. Okay, one of these days we're gonna dive into it. So today's the anniversary of George Washington leaving Mount Vernon and making his triumphant entry into New York. Today is also the anniversary of Abraham Lincoln signing a bill ending slavery in the District of Columbia in 1862. That one gets overlooked a lot. But in 1862, today, April 16th, Abraham Lincoln signed a bill ending slavery in the District of Columbia. Abraham Lincoln, the first Republican president, Republican, mind you, the Republican Party founded on ending slavery. It's one of its chief tenets, to dispose of slavery, which is an evil. And the Republicans said, we're done with it. We're going after it. and Lincoln, today's an anniversary. He signed that bill. And it's a fine anniversary. And also today, 1963, Martin Luther King Jr. writes his famous letter from Birmingham jail while incarcerated for protesting against segregation in Birmingham. Have you read this letter, by the way? Have you ever stopped to take the time to read the letter from Birmingham jail? It's an open letter to some ministers who are complaining that Martin Luther King should not have even been in Birmingham. Why, he's from Atlanta, Georgia. What's he doing in Alabama? And other complaints. And Martin Luther King from jail writes this tome and he lays it out. He defends himself beautifully. And it's a book. He calls it a letter, the letter from Birmingham jail. It's an open letter, but it's a book. It's not long. I mean, you can read it, in one sitting, but it's long for a letter. He even acknowledges that, towards the end of it, he says this is more like a book than a letter. But he has to address certain things. And he says in the beginning that normally he doesn't respond to critics, but he felt like this was so important. Number one, he needed to respond to it. And number two, kind of tongue in cheek, he said, "I'm sitting here in jail. I got nothing better to do. I might as well respond." And henceforth, the book. But it is so beautifully written. I don't know that it gets the love that it should. His I Have a Dream speech really gets all the love. But in rhetoric class at Waterbrook, we study the letter. It's part of it. It's part of the class because rhetorically, I mean, the letter's a masterpiece. Rhetorically, Martin Luther King Jr. was a master. He knew what was going on. As the kids say, he knew what was up. And so it's a letter that we study in rhetoric class. I encourage you to read it. You can pull it up. I mean, you can find it. A letter from Birmingham jail. It's going to take you a few minutes, but you'll get through it. Matter of fact, read it more than once. Study it. Realize where he was coming from and the position he was in and the fight that he was fighting for. And consider his words and consider where we are. Consider what we've allowed. Consider what we have allowed to infiltrate our education system. You know what should be happening in public education across the country today? Students should be reading the letter from Birmingham jail in its appropriate context. Not in a context of racism, but in a context of ending it, fighting against it. I mean, here today, we have two anniversaries that are nearly 100 years apart. 1862, Abraham Lincoln signs a bill ending slavery in the District of Columbia. 1963, I mean, here we are 100 years later. And the fight is still being waged. But we've got Martin Luther King Jr. sitting in a jail in Birmingham, writing his now famous letter. And people will say, see, it's a racist country. It's a country full of racists. It was founded on racism, and we had people die in a civil war. And look at 100 years later, it's still racist. Racist, racist, racist. And that is one way of looking at it. I mean, sure, you can look at it that way. The correct way to look at it, however, is the country was not founded on racism. It was there, but that's not the foundation of the country. It's always been there. And we fought a war to defeat it. And in that war, we defeated slavery, but racism remained. It absolutely remained. And here we are 100 years later, and we're still fighting against it. And Martin Luther King Jr. writes this beautiful letter from Birmingham jail, still fighting against it. And here we are today, many, many years beyond, 1963. What do we, let's see, let's do the math real quick. 40, 50, I mean, 60 years, is that where we're at? 60 years, those mathematicians in the audience. 60 years later, here we are, even beyond the Birmingham jail letter. And we're still fighting it. But you know why we're still fighting it? Because there are people that still stoke the flame of it. Because they realize, number one, it puts them in power. Number two, it makes them money. I mean, those are probably the two biggest things, power and money. And they just continue to stoke the flame. Let's get in there and let's fan that flame. Come on, come on, let's fan the flame of racism. And we're going to probably keep fighting it. I mean, we're going to have to keep fighting it. But it's worth making the fight. It is. It's worth making the fight. And the beauty of it is that we're able to fight it because the country is still free. The country, my friends, was founded on freedom. Founded on freedom and liberty, and the country is still free. Therefore, we are still able to fight. And keeping up this fight, we will continue to fight. We got these glorious anniversaries here. The anniversaries, and today, April 16th, who knew that we would have three anniversaries that would just span the centuries? 1789, 19 or 1862, and 1963 anniversaries from three amazing individuals, Washington, Lincoln, and Martin Luther King Jr. Three amazing individuals, three people that we should herald in this country as genius, and we should look to them as leaders and examples, and they should dominate our history classes throughout the country. Dominate. Well, they do at Waterbrook. We treat these three individuals with the respect that they deserve, and we do our very best to learn from them, which to me, my friends, is the reason why we have history class, so we can learn from these individuals, so we can learn from these events, so we can learn from these experiences. For what purpose? To make our lives better, to make the lives better of those around us, to make the country better, to learn and grow from them. That is the purpose. It's why history class is one of the most important classes you can go to. And it's why I'm very upset that only 13% of the country is proficient in American history. That, my friends, is a shame. It is a crying shame. All right. I did not mean to get on a history class soapbox, but there it is. There, my young friends, it is. And I've gone long. I'm up against the, I'm just going to take a few more minutes. I am. I'm just going to take a few more minutes. We're going to get to Idaho. Idaho is going to happen. We're going to get there. But I just want to take a second to encourage you. And this is why I feel like it's so important to get involved in some sort of grassroots movement, because the history of our country is, it's important, and it's something that we have to fight for. It's something that we have to protect. It's something that we have to defend. And one of the best ways to do that, I'm not even kidding, one of the best ways to do it is to get involved in a grassroots movement. I've talked about this quite a bit, that the way to save the country isn't from the top down. Okay, there is not going to be a savior at the top. Trump is not the savior. I mean, we like him because he does really good things. And, we believe he is the option. I do anyway. I believe he, I mean, Biden isn't the option. Anything else out there isn't the option. I mean, Donald Trump has just proven that, he loves the country and he's going to fight for it. But the top isn't where we're going to be saved. No, it's the people, because we the people are sovereign. We the people are still in charge. We still have the authority. And it's not glamorous. It doesn't feel like you're really making any headway. But you are. If you get involved in a grassroots movement, you will make headway. There is momentum. And it starts locally. It starts locally and it works its way through the county and through the state. This movement on Saturday, Don't Mess With Our Kids, it began locally, but like a wildfire, it jumped from state to state to state, to the point now where it became a statewide thing. And at every Capitol on Saturday, to the point where in Michigan, we had over 1,000 people gathered at the Capitol, and in other capitals, anywhere between 200 to 500 people. There is momentum in this. And this momentum is only going to build. It's only going to grow. It's only going to continue. And maybe you don't want to get involved and Don't Mess With Our Kids. Maybe that might not be your thing. But I promise you, there probably is a grassroots movement somewhere that is your thing. Look it up. Find it. What interests you? What hot topic at the moment is of interest to you? What you look across the landscape and where do you see the country under attack internally? I mean, you can look in various other regions, realms, ideas or thoughts, and you can see where they are under attack. And then find yourself a grassroots movement that rushes to the defend or to the defense of that thing, to the defense of that particular area, and be a part of it. Maybe it's not kids. Maybe it's not Moms for Liberty. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's citizens defending, whatever. There are so many organizations out there that start at the grassroots, that have good people running them, people that love this country, people that want to see this country saved, people that want to see us go back to what our foundation says we should go back to. People who want to go back to that solid footing, which we're not operating on a solid footing right now. Look around. We're not. I mean, the different things that I talk about here behind this microphone should tell you currently this country is not operating on a solid footing. But there are people like you and people like me that want to get us back there. And there are particular people in legislations in states all over the country that also want to get us back there. And they're fighting against people in legislatures throughout all the states that don't want us to get back there. And there's this battle happening. And those people need us. There's people on school boards that are fighting for this idea, and they need us because there are people that oppose them. So, my friends, grassroots is the thing. Find it, get involved. All right. Now I'm up against it. Holy smokes. I went long today. I did not mean to go that long. But sometimes it happens. Sometimes we fire it up and there's the soapbox just waiting on us. All right, we will pause here and we'll go to Idaho on the other side of this break. Thank you for joining me. You are listening to the Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus and strengthen recall. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order, risk-free. Love it or your money back, guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code out loud.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
A When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us. You can find us here Monday through Friday at AmericaOutloud.news at the 2 p.m. Eastern time slot. And of course, you can listen all over the place. I like to listen live on the app, and I talk about it. You can download the app for your iPhone, your Android, your Alexa, or you can go to the world-class media player on AmericaOutloud.news, where you can also find all the articles, excellent writers, at AmericaOutloud.news or iHeartRadio, or find us in podcast. I mean, we're out there, and we're happy for this audience. We really are. We are grateful that you are listening. And, I believe that this audience is one of the reasons that the movement on Saturday was so strong and so powerful all over the states, every state, every capital. Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. All right, let's go to Idaho. Can we go to Idaho? I wanted to get to Idaho yesterday. All right, we're talking about governors, senators, state representatives that are taking a stand. They are. They're serious about what they're doing. And they are interested in making a stand. They want to save the country. And we're watching this in Idaho. We're watching this unfold. Governor Brad Little signed the bill last week, which bans compelled use of pronouns in schools and government entities. All right. So because there are people out there that say, if you didn't use the correct pronoun on me, then you're in trouble. You have to call me by the pronoun that I say I am. All right. So if I'm a man, which I am, and I demand that you refer to me as a she or a her, and you don't, why, you did you just misgender me? You didn't call me she or her. I mean, you saw this clip. I mean, this was a couple of years ago. This guy out in California, I guess he's dressed like a woman. I don't know. And he's at this convenience store, this party store, and the dude refers to him as sir, and this guy goes nuts. That's ma'am. Ma'am, that's ma'am to you. How dare you call me sir? You have to call me ma'am, and it's just ridiculous. Ridiculous. In Idaho, the folks in Idaho are like, no, No, you can't compel me to say a certain thing. Okay, there's no such thing here. You know, free speech is not compelled speech. Compelled speech is not free speech. Sorry, and you can't. There can be no law that says if I call you a she, and you want to be called a he, you can't put me in prison. Sorry. No, you can't even find me. No. Mm-mm. I mean, that seems like it'd be common sense, you know, but now it's not. And you have to have legislators draft laws that once used to be common sense. Now we have to make a law to let people know, hey, this is common sense. So the Idaho governor, Brad Little, he signed this bill last week. And the bill bans government entities and schools from compelling staff and students to use pronouns for individuals that do not correspond to their biological sex. I love it. Absolutely love it. House Bill 538 was sponsored by Representative Ted Hill. I'm going to give you one guess. Do you think Mr. Hill is a Republican or a Democrat? Go ahead. I'm waiting. If you said Democrat, you would be wrong. I don't think any of you said Democrat. You know he's a Republican. Because the Democrats, they're not going for this. I mean, unless you're that Democrat that I talked about last week, Hughes in Louisiana, that dude, he's a man. He and the other six Democrats that voted for that bill in Louisiana, I mean, they know what's going on. Those guys need to switch parties. I mean, they do. How are you still a Democrat? You need to switch parties. All right. Well, so Representative Ted Hill, he sponsors this bill, 538. It was passed by the state Republican-dominated legislature last month, and Governor Brad Little signed it into law. Under the legislation, government employees, quote, here's what it says, quote, shall not be subject to adverse employment action if they decline to address an individual using a name other than the individual's legal name. All right, I'm Dean. My name's Dean. I cannot demand that you call me George. I can't. I can't demand that you call me Sally. And if you refuse to call me George or Sally, I cannot sue you for it. I can't take you to court. I can't compel your speech to make you call me what I want to be called. Oh. So, yeah, this bill says there can be no adverse employment action, right? Or if they decline to address them by their preferred title or pronoun that is inconsistent with their biological sex. You can't reprimand me. You can't punish me. You can't, you know, dock my pay, you know, none of that. There can be no adverse employment action. That's the language. Elsewhere, teachers and this is still part of the bill. Teachers and other employees in public schools or public institutions of higher education, and here it is, regardless of the scope of their duties, will be prevented from knowingly and intentionally addressing a minor by a name or pronoun that does not align with their sex assigned at birth without written consent from their parents or guardian. This is great. This is fantastic. It's long overdue. It's sad, though. Isn't it sad that it's come to this? And I say it's long overdue. We shouldn't even be here. It shouldn't come to this, but it has. Students are also offered similar protections in this bill. which is now a law. The measure grants individuals harmed by government employer, public school, or public institution for higher education for violating the measure the right to sue for damages and relief if they are disciplined. This is fantastic. So if your name's Sally and you want me to call you George, but I don't want to call you George, I want to call you Sally, and you're my superior, and you're mad because I'm not calling you George, and you dock my pay, or you fire me, or you do something to reprimand me, I get to sue you if we're in Idaho. This is gorgeous. The Republicans in Idaho, they know how to play the game. Those lawsuits must be filed. This is what the law says. The lawsuits must be filed within 2 years from the date that the violation occurs. Okay. That is a goodly amount of time. That's enough time for me. Give me 2 years. I'll put it together. The legislation states no person in the state of Idaho is compelled by any governmental entity in the state of Idaho to communicate statements that such citizen believes to be false. Holy smokes. See, this, my friends, is common knowledge. So I can't be compelled to refer to you as a female if I believe that's false and you're a male. How dare you? I want to be a female. You have to call me a female. Do you see how ridiculous this is? What if I want to be an ostrich? I mean, I've used the example here that when I was a lad, I would play Godzilla all day long. And in my mind, I was Godzilla. In the wintertime, I'd get my snowmobile suit on and I'd go outside in the yard and all the snow. Because then in the winter here in Michigan, when you breathe out, you can see your breath. It's like Godzilla's, it's like the fire. In my mind, I was breathing fire. And I promise you, I would stay outside for hours because I was Godzilla. I mean, wouldn't you think that there was something wrong with me when I got older and I demanded that you call me Godzilla? Dean, that's just ridiculous. You can't equate the two. I don't see why not. I mean, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, if you're a man and you demand to be referred to as a woman, then I should be able to be referred to as Godzilla. I don't see what the difference is, but if I go around and I say, call me Godzilla, and if you don't, I throw a fit. I mean, you might think there's something wrong with me mentally. So do you kind of see where we're at? You believe it to be false that I'm actually not Godzilla. And you would be right. And therefore, you shouldn't be compelled to call me Godzilla. And I can throw a fit all day long, but I mean, it shouldn't mean that you go to jail or that you lose your job or that you're punished by your employer. And this is what the good folks in Idaho, this is the conclusion they're coming to. No person should be subjected to any coercion by any governmental entity in the state of Idaho to communicate in any way statements that such person preferred not to communicate. It's about time. Now, I'm sure this is happening in other places. I say it's about time, like it's never happened before, like this law isn't going on. It's going on. And I love to read about it. I really do. I just, I could read these kinds of articles all day long. And I think it is important that we read about them. I think it's important that we talk about them. I think it's important that we promote them. Look, friends, if you live in Idaho, you need to support your legislators that are sponsoring this bill, that are voting for this bill, this governor that signed it into law. You get out there and support them. I mean, send them emails, call them, let them know, hey, we love what you're doing. Thank you for standing up for humanity. Thank you for standing up for common sense. Thank you for coming to the defense of Americans, because we're being overrun with stupidity. Look around. Look around. It's there. It's happening. Yeah, you know what's happening. You see it coming towards you every day. And you're like, you know, Toro, Toro, you got that red cape and you're out there, you know, Toro with the bull. Just stupidity discharges and you know, throw the cape out of the way. That's what it feels like. It feels like we're surrounded by stupidity. This law says to permit a governmental entity of the state of Idaho to compel speech in such a way would deprive persons within this state of their fundamental right to be free from coerced speech. Did you know? Of course you knew. I shouldn't offend you by asking it that way. So my apologies, but I'm going to do it anyway. Did you know it's a fundamental right? You have a fundamental right to not be coerced into speech. It's your fundamental right. You have the right to freedom of speech, which not only means you get to say what you want to say, but the flip side of that is you aren't coerced into saying what somebody else wants you to say. I mean, I love it. And it's about time that common sense starts reigning supreme, and that the progressive Marxists among us get put down, just silenced. Dean, you're saying that they should be silenced, and you're attacking their free speech. I mean, okay, they can say what they want. I mean, I guess we don't silence them, but we don't make them make these stupid laws that say, I've got to call you ma'am when you're not a ma'am. I'm not wrong. I can tell you that. So this law goes into effect on July 1st. And the legislature here in Idaho says that it's desperately needed to protect the people of Idaho against unlawful compelled speech. This type of laws is desperately needed. And it's desperately needed everywhere. It really is. It's desperately needed throughout the country. And again, my friends, this is just another example of eyes opening up. And smart people in Idaho electing, you know, smart people to make smart laws. And I absolutely love it. All right, of course, you know, the left is going to sue them, and the left is going to utilize their favorite organization to sue, and you know what it is. It's the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union. So this legislation, this article I'm looking at, says this Idaho legislation has been largely opposed by one particular party in the state. Do you know who that party is? Of course you do. The Democrats. It's being opposed by the Democrats. And why? Why do you ask? Because the Democrats argue that this law will lead to discrimination against, you know it. But I'm not going to use their word. No, I'm not going to use the word that they use. But they believe that this law will lead to discrimination against men who pretend to be women, and against women who pretend to be men. How dare you discriminate against me? I'm a man, but I want to be a woman, and I want to be called a woman, and now I can't force you to call me a woman. You're discriminating against me. Yeah, this is what the Democrats, this is what they're saying. They're saying this, you know, this law, it's discrimination. State Representative Lauren Nikachoi, I'm sorry, Lauren, I did not mean to destroy your last name, but she's a Democrat. And last month, according to The Hill, here's what she said. I think it's a she. I mean, it might be a he. The name is Lauren. It might be a he. I don't know. Maybe I'm misgendering this individual. But here's the statement. We expect our publicly funded employees to adhere to a certain standard of respect and decency. And we expect them to refrain from being unkind, uncivil, or discriminatory when whether it's to the public or to their coworkers. Respectfully addressing people the way they are asked to be addressed is no different. Okay. Okay. I mean, I guess they're, I just, but if it's pretend, if you know it's false, you must call me Mister, but you're a lady. Call me Mister. I want to be called Mister. Okay, Mister. I mean, do you see that it becomes a joke? These people become a laughing stock of society. I mean, I don't want it to be that way. Don't get me wrong. I don't want them to be a laughing stock of society. I mean, that's not the point. But that's what it's going to become. It's absolutely going to, it's going to be turned into that. Elsewhere, the American Civil Liberties Union, which lobbied against the bill, of course they did, said that they were extremely disappointed and frustrated that the governor had signed the bill. We're frustrated. We're disappointed. We can't believe he did this. And they also criticized the governor for signing another measure. He signed House Bill 421. That measure changes the legal definition of sex to an individual's biological sex, which is either male or female. And they're upset about this. How dare he? He can't legally redefine a word. How dare he do this? And so here's their statement. Both bills seek to codify the erasure of transgender Idahoans and have the potential to cause direct harm in our communities, particularly for youth, because that's the group we're targeting the most. These bills are foiling our efforts to target the youth. Despite their quote continues, despite robust pushback from the community, hours of heartfelt testimony, and our efforts to detail how these bills violate our constitutional rights, Governor Little has once again decided to double down on anti-trans discrimination, putting Idaho taxpayers at risk for expensive lawsuits in the process, lawsuits that we're going to make sure happen. Oh, okay. All right. So, I mean, there we are. Governor Brad Little is out there getting it done. And these Republicans in Idaho are getting it done. They're getting it done to the tune of common sense. And I love it. I think common sense needs to prevail. Look, let's just be honest. Okay, if you're a man, you can run around and look like a woman. This Rachel Levine character that says she's a woman, the dude's a man. And he runs around and looks like a woman. I'm sorry, buddy. I mean, you can even get things removed surgically or things added surgically. It doesn't make you a man or a woman. You have these chromosomes that were given to you by God. And God defines it. He decides. He's gonna give you the definition. And the best thing for you to do in life would be to just let God have his way. Would you please let him have his way with your life? Okay, if you're a man, just be a man. If you're a woman, just be a woman and let God lead you and direct you into helping others and into leading a prosperous life, a life full of hope and love and and joy and peace and happiness. These are the things that are available to you. And they're available to you because you live in a country that that thrives in freedom, that was built on freedom, that was built on independence, that was built on inalienable, God-given rights. And the government didn't give you these rights, and the government cannot take them away from you. It's the government's job, according to Jefferson, it's the government's job to defend and support these rights. It's the government's job to make sure that these rights are not removed. They're going to come under attack. And the unfortunate thing is today that it's our own government that is attacking these rights. They're not doing the job that Jefferson said they needed to do. It's the government that's attacking that would love to remove some of these. And so people like us, people like you and me, we need to toe the line, and we need to make sure that we are, that we're on the front lines and we're defending them. All right. And it's why grassroots are so important. It's why I talk about it all the time. It's why find yourself a grassroots organization that's going to support and defend children, support and defend families, support and defend parents, support and defend life, support and defend inalienable rights. Oh, they're the best kind of rights. Aren't they great? Don't you just feel great to have them? Doesn't it feel great when you wake up in the morning and you realize you live in America? The country is not what it used to be, but you know, it just means that our purpose here is all the more important. And we have a job to do, friends, each and every one of us. We have a job to do. You have a purpose in this life. So get out there and do it. Go get it. Go achieve it. Make it happen. Go after it. Whatever you got to do, get out there. All right. That is all the time we have for today, America. I am up against it. I want to thank you for joining me. It means a lot to me. Share this show with someone that you think needs to hear it. And most importantly, my friends, and invite your friends and family to get on the Dean's List, because we have to unite to renovate the age.